the public is always ready to forgive a writer for a bad book, that is to say, aesthetically bad, but never for a pernicious one, in other words, ideologically and morally bad. And the special condition of Russian life, he said, made literature especially important in the face of terrible political oppression, social oppression, which, as he said, induce dejection, weariness, and apathy. Only literature, as he says, still lives. As he put it, with the title, with us Russians, the title of poet and writer has long since eclipsed the tinsel of epaulettes and gaudy uniforms. And many other intellectuals, Herzen among them, made similar arguments, repeatedly pointing out that in Russia, the land that Herzen called at one point a land of silence, this is Nicholas I's reign, the power of the word is exceptional, and literature especially conveys that. I want to conclude with a final observation here. This idea of Lichnost, of the individual, the self, what is natural to each human being, what is the source of their dignity, which is so central to everything Belinsky wrote, was in many ways, I think, the most key idea that really divided the Slavophiles from the Westernizers. Not just their attitudes toward the West or Russia. This was as much symbol as it really was substance. Belinsky, in fact, a leading Westernizer, of course, could be quite critical of Western Europe, of Western European civilization, especially when, as he put it, it fails to be human. For example, he noted in the way women were treated in Western Europe was a sign that this culture hadn't truly achieved the full humanness, respect for the individual dignity of all that needs to be found in any truly developed culture. Herzen, too, was a very strong and vigorous critic of European culture. In particular, and he spent a great deal of time in exile in Western Europe, he found quite troubling the West's preoccupation with what he considered to be money and material goods. Western culture seemed to be less concerned than many Russians, at least than elite intellectuals like himself, with the world of truth, with the world of ideas, with the world of spirit, with creating a truly happy, prosperous, alive society for individuals. In fact, at one point he said it seemed to him that Western European society was more concerned with respectability than with real human dignity, with the surfaces rather than the deep quality of people's lives. What really distinguished, I think, Westernizers, as this may suggest, from Slavophiles was their attitude toward the individual person. The Slavophiles tended to idealize a world in which people were all bonded together in a natural community, in this community of subornists, of spiritual unity based on common values and sentiments. The Westernizers idealized the individual and were concerned above all with his or her rights and dignity within society. This was a fundamental difference, and it would remain a fundamental difference long after the Westernizers and the Slavophiles as such ceased to exist. This difference between community and unity and the respect for the individual would remain a central debate among all Russians, including at the level of the state, thinking about the future of their country and its relationship to other cultures. For Belinsky, it's worth saying, because there's another aspect of this I want to emphasize, this was, as you can probably see, a fundamentally liberal idea. And indeed, Russian liberalism, which would begin to emerge in the 1860s, grew on this very same basis, the idea of the individual and the person's rights rooted in dignity. But for Belinsky, and for many others increasingly, this idea about the individual was also a socialist idea. Belinsky, along with Herzen and several others, began for the first time to call themselves socialists in 1841. Now, for most 19th century socialists, European socialists like Saint-Simon or Fourier, French so-called utopian socialists, but also for Russians who called themselves socialists in the early 1840s and after, like Herzen and Belinsky, socialism was a social ideal about transforming society that was meant above all to promote the human individual. It was about a more just society in which all people, even the poorest, would have a chance to flourish, to realize their dignity. That socialism in Russia, at least, turned out in a different way is another story, one that I'll be getting to. Next time, though, we'll be returning to the story of the state, to the reign in particular of Emperor Alexander II, and at another major attempt at reform. Because remember, it's not just intellectuals who recognized that Russia needed to change. This time, though, talk of reform would have huge consequences. Indeed, finally, mere talk in government circles about changing Russia would be replaced by dramatic action.